Dr. Derek Mulcahy from the Academic Learning Centre at Mary Immaculate College in Limerick. You're very welcome to the programme, and it's great to have another academic from Mary Immaculate on the programme. How are you today?
I'm very good, thank you, Joe. Lovely to chat to you.
Last week we had your colleague, Dr. Paul O'Brien, on talking about the lost papers, and or the found papers, I should say. And I did explain that I was hoping to have you on the programme this week, so I'm thrilled that you could make it. And it's very appropriate that we talk about your new book. I know it's not your first one, but it's appropriate because on St. Patrick's Day, which is only 2 days away, and next Sunday, you're telling me, is the international band competition. There will be bands, marching bands, up and down the street in Limerick for a considerable length of time. So it's appropriate that we talk. Now, your book is called By the Left, Quick March. Fabulous title. Where did your interest and your love of marching bands come from, Derek?
Well, I joined St. Mary's Fife and Drum Band. It's based in Mary Street in Limerick in 1976. We just lived across the road and they were looking for young members at the time, so we were probably the bunch of scallywags running around the old Abbey area of the parish. And I joined the band, and there was a lovely man there called Jimmy Daly. He was the tutor, the bandmaster, and a few of us from the road took it up, and we're there since. And my interest in the band then came from there, really, and chatting to the old members. You see, when I joined now, I can remember going to band practice in the late 70s, and there was a man sitting in the corner, Christopher Ducker Nash. He was born in 1886. Whoa. You know, so you're kind of, he lived to a good age. He was well into his 90s when he died. And he was a great bandmaster of the band in 1911 to 14, just before the First World War. So it's that kind of continuity that carries on. The band that taught me, Jimmy Daly, was previously bandmaster of the Sarsfield Band in Limerick, another fife and drum band. And he was taught by one of the most famous bandmasters of the Sarsfield Band, Danny O'Flynn, who would be a brother of the great author from St. Mary's Parish, Christore O'Flynn, still alive and with us, or a nephew, an uncle, I'm sorry. So the links of the bands are there. And when I went to Mary Immaculate College as a mature student in 2011 through a foundation access course, and then I did a BA on history and English.
Right.
I did my undergraduate dissertation on St. Mary's Band.
Lovely.
And while I was doing all this, I'm collating stuff and kind of gathering oral history interviews and stuff. So I decided then to do when I went for the PhD, to do my thesis on the evolution of the fife and drum band and tradition in Limerick.
Right.
And what I found out from there is that the local civilian bands in Limerick started from the temperance movement and Father Matthew. And his idea was, this was around the 1830s, to get people away from bars and stuff and kind of get a kind of an organized society. And one of those outlays or one of the enjoyments or pursuits for people was to have a band, a temperance band.
Right.
And the Limerick band started from there and started generally, that happened all over Ireland as well.
Right.
But it's also the time of Daniel O'Connell and the repeal movement. So the bands then kind of diverged a bit into politics and moving around at repeal meetings and things and became their own entities. So the oldest band we have continuously in Limerick is at the moment is the Butterby Brass and Reed Band.
Yeah.
Now, my own tradition of the fife and drum, St. Mary's, there would have been a fife and drum band in my parish, say, from the 1830s. But the band I'm in now is continuous since 1885.
Wow.
We have another band still in Limerick, St. John's Brass and Reed Band, founded in 1865.
That's phenomenal.
As all the bands that came and went over the years, CBS Pipe Band, which I heard that you were a member of one time.
Absolutely.
Is 60 years old this year.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
And you have the Limerick, City of Limerick Pipe Band. They're there since 1949. And we have other bands then, like the Redemptive Centre of Music, 10 years old this year. But there's other bands have come and gone. You see, it's difficult to keep a band probably together. Sometimes the lifespans can be 25 years, you know, because we get this burst of energy and we play in every competition that's going.
Yes.
And it kind of wanes. But from my research, it seems the bands that kind of could gather a premises and have a kind of a base that they're the ones that seem to have lasted.
Okay.
You know?
Yes, yes, so, yes. And what is it about the Limerick people that we love or bands? We just, what is it? Is it because they've been around for so long and maybe what they were associated with in the past and that has come down the generations?
Well, I think it is. Limerick isn't a very big city, so we had always a tradition of, if there's anything going on, there'll always be a band there. Mm-hmm. And bands, we're also a very parochial city, as you know, through our Robbie, and everyone has their own different areas, like Shannon be kind of St Mary's Parish, Gary Owen is Gary Owen. Young Munsters will be kind of up
the back
Yellow
of the
Road
monument.
Side.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so you can kind of guess where I'm coming from there. And the bands, when they were founded first, were generally the same. They were based kind of in their parish. They had the Boher, like Boher Boy or Boher Bui, the Yellow Road, that's the Irish for that. St. John's, St. Munchin's had a brass band. You had, as obviously, St. Mary's fife and drum band from that part of the parish. And during the temperance time, they were all based, each temperance movement had a base in their parishes.
Right.
And there were kind of six parishes in the city at the time. So that's kind of where it came from. And everyone, like, if you talk to people, I talk to people in St. Mary's parish and they'd call St. Mary's band our band.
Right, okay. Yes,
yeah,
yes.
So lovely, it comes lovely. From there, from the heart, you know.
You did make reference to the fact that I was a member. I was a tenor drummer with the CBS Pipe Band. And that band, as the name would suggest, is made up of students from CBS and Sexton Street. And we were absolutely delighted to be part of it and very proud to be part of it. And I don't think I've driven through Charleville ever without remembering being at the opening ceremony of the local GAA, because we marched that day and it was milling out of the heavens with rain. I've never forgotten it. And I have other memories of being in like the Gaelic grounds with the band and, you know, marching on St. Patrick's Day, all of that. And I remember there was always great competition between ourselves and Sammy Benson's lads, as we used to call them, the Boher Boy Band. Is there competition between the bands now, or is it just ye all get on well together?
They would have had a history of competition. Like if you had brass bands, you didn't like one of your brass band members going up joining another band.
Yeah.
The same with the fife and drum. And like the CBS, what emerged from the CBS was a brilliant pipe band called the Corrigor.
That's right. I knew the lads,
like,
yeah.
They were all ex-CBS guys.
Mm.
But there's always a rivalry, but we're our own entity, you know. We do our own thing. But now we're kind of very together, you know. Even something like the book like this has joined the band. The fact that all the bands, the six bands in Limerick, came together for the launch of this book will tell you a story in itself, you know.
Yeah.
So it might have been when they had political divisions many years ago. But.
Where did the idea come from? Was it something? Was it a kind of a logical step that you would do something about, you know, the bands and the tradition in Limerick?
Well, as I said to you, I had the thesis done on the fife and drum bands. And I was approached then by, there's a series of books in Limerick at the moment. And this is the seventh, I think, in the series. So there'd have been a book done on, and it's sponsored by Limerick City and County Council.
Lovely.
And in conjunction with Mary Eye. So there would have been a book done on the Limerick Clothing Factory, Tate Clothing Factory. There would have been a book done on Mount St. Lawrence or Old Graveyard.
Mm.
And a book done on the Port Butchers and Ranks, the flour mills.
Yeah.
So this is kind of one in a series. And it worked out well that I was coming from a band background. I had a thesis done already on fife and drum bands. Then I had to bring in the brass and reed and the pipe bands as well.
Okay.
But it was kind of like a labour of love as well. But I was fascinated by the bands, the brass and reed bands. Like I knew my own fife and drum inside out, but the different instrumentation it takes to get a band together.
Mm-hmm.
The pipe bands, we have had world champions in Limerick. I didn't kind of realise the practice that goes into a lot of those competitions. And I'm sure CBS were in a good few competitions at its time as well.
We were, yeah.
And it brings a bit of a discipline being in a band, and that seemed to come across as well. What came across in my oral history interviews were passion for their band, the passion in how they looked. One man said to me, he was in the CBS band, and then he joined the Corrigor, and his father pulled him, and he said, "I notice a change in you." And he said, "What, Dad?" He said, "You're standing straighter. You're a lot cleaner on yourself." You know, he cut the hair. And
yeah, yeah.
And that probably came from the band by the left quick march, as we say,
yeah,
and a bit of discipline, straighten your back, you know.
Well, and I suppose if you're carrying a drum, you have to straighten the back or you'll be crippled altogether, wouldn't you, no matter how young you are, I remember it. What about your own band now? What's the average age? Are young people engaging with these bands now?
They do engage. They come in when they're... We normally have a thing when you make your confirmation, so that's usually about 12 or 13. They stay, but towards years ago, a lot of kids now go to university and they could end up in Cork, Dublin, Galway, and they kind of go off and do their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
So some come back then, and other people in life then go away, get married, have kids, and they might move out to the county of Limerick, and it's difficult to come in and out. But we have an average around 20, 25.
Okay.
The age profile is probably a bit higher than we'd like at the moment, but there have been some young people joining over the last few years. Our latest recruit actually made his debut on at the book launch for the parade, and he was Stephen Casey, and he was a grandson of our legendary drummer, Paddy Whacker Casey. So you can imagine Whacker is a great name for a drummer.
It is, isn't it, yeah.
Like, Stephen is 29. He knows what he wants in life. He joined the band now. He won't miss any practices and he'll come to all the outings.
Yeah.
And that's where it develops then, you see. Mm. If you get people like that, will commit, you know.
How do you fund it? How do you keep it going? Because you've the upkeep of the instruments and you've got the uniforms and all of that kind of stuff as well to be looking at and looking towards.
Yeah, it's kind of a debate that came up a lot in the interviews as well. Basically, a lot of bands kind of... They do recitals at Christmas and try and make collections, house-to-house collections.
Okay.
What they do is raffles. They might get a fee if they're playing somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And all that goes back into the band then itself, you know.
Mm.
You need a committee. You need a strong committee. You apply for everything you can and you might get something along the line.
Mm.
And the band funds themselves as well, because each member is a member and they'll give a few quid and go to practice and all that. Yeah.
What about St. Patrick's Day then? You're staying in Limerick, I presume. Do you ever move out of Limerick for St. Patrick's Day? Have you done so?
Yeah, a lot of the bands, again in my research, would have went to America. Mm-hmm. And some bands went to England as well. St. Mary's band, our first time going to America was 1992. We marched in New York. St. Patrick's Day, and I was bandmaster then. I can remember we marching down Fifth Avenue, and you'd hear this, up St. Mary's, up Shannon, up Gary Owen, Palace Roan, and that was something else. Like, you know, we brought 50 people then.
Right.
Sammy Benson's have went to America a good few times, and Mrs. McCarthy's band, the Balnanti Girls Pipe Band, they went. You know, bands have went away.
Mm. Okay.
And
the international band competition, I tried very quickly to explain it last week on the program in advance of talking to you. How long is that running and what's the success behind it?
Well, it's a very successful competition, obviously. It started in 1972. It had its 50th anniversary last year. And bar COVID, and it was 1 year of foot and mouth, has been continuous. So what happens is bands, it's on the Sunday, nearest Sunday, it's St. Patrick's Day. And bands then that go to Dublin for the main parade, some of them come down to Limerick and play it. So this year, I think, if I heard right, that there was eight bands, American bands, playing this year, including then you have the Limerick, and then you have bands that come from around the country.
You will. Yeah.
And the competition is based into various categories and the overall prize. But some bands have come here and there has been 300 or 400 in the band. Really? They're the American college bands. They're fascinating to watch. And if you have a good day, which we're not always guaranteed in Ireland, but if you have a good day, it's some spectacle. And then you get the small bands like ourselves. But every band adds to it because there's variety in everything they do. And you have the lovely sound of the pipes. You have the brass and reed. Then you have the fife and drum. And it's just a mix of bands. And when the competition finishes, then we march from roughly O'Connell Avenue, it's about 3 miles right down to Arthur's Quay, and then the bands gather together then and each take turns playing while the adjudicators are marking up the prizes and all that kind of stuff.
It's a great day out, a great family event, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of people actually prefer the band competition rather than St. Patrick's Day. Maybe it's because the St. Patrick's Day is for everyone, you know, but it's concentrated on one thing. And we get 3 minutes then outside the mayor's stand, as we call it, where all the councillors and the adjudicators are to play a piece on our own, and then we march off again.
Mm, lovely. How often do you practice then?
Well, we practice twice a week, so Tuesdays and Sundays. But if we, like, when we're in competition, there isn't that many fife and drum bands left in our part of Ireland now. And we used to have the Republic of Ireland fife and drum band contest. You could be practicing 3 or 4 times a week, but on average, twice a week. And we kind of encourage people as well to do a little bit of practice at home as well.
Go back to the book if we can, because that's the reason we're here to talk. Where did you source the pictures and all of that?
I would have a knowledge of who was in bands before. So as I was doing the oral history interviews, it's always a handy thing to ask, do you know anyone else?
Yeah.
And I didn't actually do it publicly. I was lucky enough that St. Mary's Band Hall are based in their band hall since 1922, the present one. So there was a continuity there over the 100 years. Mm. The Boher Boy Band would be the same. And then I would look then for the old pipe band members, and everyone loves a photograph and some fascinating photographs. The oldest one is 1885 up to 1922.
Wow.
And it's full of photographs. And I was lucky to get names as well, which I was very surprised.
Yeah, I was looking at it because somebody sent me the picture that you have of the CBS pipe band with me at the front. I was trying to think. I was probably only about 12, maybe going on 13, I would imagine, when that picture was taken. But, and the names were there, which I was fascinated about because I was trying to put names on lads and I couldn't.
The Barry Kerr, you know, he was great. He's a great memory for names. I think there's one question mark in that photograph, and there's a lot of young lads in that photograph, you know.
But like,
someone sent me a text the other day that this great-grandchild was playing with the CBS band last week, and her great-great-grandfather was in the 1895 photograph of Sibiri's band.
Wow.
So there's links there, you
know. That's brilliant. That's fantastic. Yeah. How is the book going for you?
The book is going very well. It went very well at the launch.
Good.
It's now for sale in O'Mahony's bookshop in Limerick and in the Crescent bookshop. But I'd say it'll go well now over this weekend.
Yes.
So, as I said, like, I was commissioned to write it. So the sales and stuff is part of the series. Then it goes on to kind of for the next book is
great.
What to say.
Great.
So we hopefully will it'll sell well. I think it will. You know, especially with the photographs in it, and there's a big variety of stuff.
Yeah.
And,
tell me, what's your next project, or have you decided yet?
Well, the one I did last was on McNamara's band. The leader of the band, PJ McNamara, he went to New York. Mm. He was McNamara's band's famous song, and I located. He recorded a lot in New York, as all the Irish immigrants did in the 1920s. And we were lucky to locate 44 of his 48 recordings, which is amazing because they were over 100 years old. So I had that last time. So my next one now, I'll have to do something on the County Limerick bands.
Okay, right.
And then from the history and different things, there's lots of bits of research that I've done and I've just put aside and they'll keep my head going for another while, I think.
Great stuff. Listen, it's been lovely talking to you, and I do appreciate you taking the time. I wish you well with the book. As you say, you were commissioned for it. But I'm sure it's always gratifying to see that it's coming off the shelves, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. That'll be the whole secret.
Listen, fantastic. The name of the book, by the way, is By the Left, Quick March, written by Dr. Derek Mulcahy. Derek, thanks a million for talking to us.
And thank you very much.
And happy St. Patrick's Day, by the way. Sorry, I forgot to say that to you.